Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. While you're turning there, I want to read a couple things that's going to make you mad. Okay? Let's see here. Maybe I only have one thing that's going to make you mad, but it'll make you mad when I read it to you. All right? This comes in. We have a lady down in Texas that Lisa and I become friends with, her and her husband, and she sends me a lot of things in email, and she kind of knows what I'm looking for as far as news articles is concerned. She sent this in this afternoon. This will make you mad. There's a pastor of a church named Laura Young. Something's wrong right there, okay? And she, the article says that she led a prayer rally to bless an abortion clinic. United Methodist Church pastor Reverend Laura Young says she believes pro-life protesters in front of a Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities have misguided faith. In fact, she thinks these clinics should be blessed, which is why she went out to an abortion facility called Preterm, that's the name of the facility, on October 8th in Cleveland. She went out and blessed this abortion mill. She blessed them because she's part of a group that hopes that in blessing this abortion clinic, that will protect them from preachy protesters, as well as encourage the strength and bravery of those providing and relying on its services. Young also says religious groups are fueling the so-called war on women. No, they've declared war on babies. She explained, quote, "Women are being attacked at a moral level by the radical religious right. They've hijacked the political discussion. This event is an opportunity for progressive religious leaders to stop the silence. We need to be in the conversation." The abortion reverend heads up a group called Ohio Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, which, let me read. Name that. Ohio Religious Coalition for Murdering Babies. They run an all options counseling hotline for women facing crisis pregnancies. She said, quote, "It breaks my heart to know women are sitting in pews across the country feeling shamed." Let me tell you something. When you go out and break God's law, you should feel shame. That's how God designed it. Shame makes you feel sorry for what you did. That's your best. Shame is your best friend. Guilt is your best friend. Okay, feeling shame, believing that they're cursed for making this decision. That's a question I get a lot on the phone. Am I going to hell? When God instead is there to support women through it all. That makes me mad, and they bring God in on it. Let's see here. What else? Here we go. "Our religious traditions call us to offer compassion, not judgment. People who work for Planned Parenthood give care and respect to those in need. Doing God's work, for this we're grateful." Planned Parenthood is the organization that sells babies' body parts to the highest bidder and makes money off of it. Do what? No, it is. It is not God's work. You cannot kill and bring forth and spill on the ground innocent blood, and God turn the other cheek. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you that we're one step closer to Sodom and Gomorrah in this nation. So now, we'll use that as a segue to get into the Word. I've got several pages of notes. I promise you I will not try to get through this all in one night. Okay? But we are going to study something I think is relevant, pertinent, something I think sums up everything that we see going on around us, the reason why God has called us here in this place tonight, and will continue to use this for His glory and His kingdom. And it's the concept of the day of the Lord. We're going to look at that from the Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there in your Bible? Say amen. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, if you remember the last couple Wednesday nights, we were talking about God's time frame. And Paul and Peter told us, be not ignorant of this one thing. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So let me just kind of give you the summation of it to kind of put us back where we need to be. When the Bible talks about the day of the Lord, we learned from Peter, we learned from David, 1,000 years are in thy sight as but yesterday. So we have two witnesses to tell us how God measures a day. It can be a literal day, 24 hours, and also at the same time reference a 1,000-year period. So when we look at, no microphone, here we go. We good now? All right, I'll leave that up here. So when we're considering what the Bible means when it talks about the day of the Lord, some kind of get, I think, they get confused. They're saying, well, this says the day of the Lord, so it must be in this 24-hour day. But remember, God has an expanded definition of the word day, meaning 1,000 years. So yes, I think there is going to come a day when Christ is going to appear in the clouds. Amen? There is coming a day. But then that is sort of more or less the beginning of a longer period of time, 1,000 years, in which Christ is going to put down all of his enemies. He's going to rule and reign on the earth. And at the end of that day, at the end of that 1,000 years, the heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved. They're going to go away. We know about atoms, and we know that that's the basis of everything that's in the universe. And the atoms are all there snuggled together, and they're being... The Bible says that by Jesus, all things consist. You know what that word means? Okay? When you're stirring batter in a bowl, you're looking for a certain consistency, which means you're looking for how it all holds together, right? Okay? You don't want loose batter. You want some good, tight batter. Or maybe you're making some bread or something like that. You want the dough to be of a good consistency. You want it to all hold together and not fall apart. That's what the Bible is talking about when it says, by Him, being Christ, all things consist. All things are held together. So what's going to happen? At the very, very end of everything in this universe, Christ is going to let it go. He said the elements and everything, the heavens, are going to be dissolved. They're going to literally just pass away. They're going to melt with a fervent heat. Can you imagine how much heat can be generated by the destruction of the entire universe? And if you were a human, what kind of bunker can you build to survive it? It won't happen. Okay? So if the Lord is not your ark and your safety, you're toast. Actually, you're dissolved toast. Okay? But that's what he says is going to happen. All of this accompanies the day of the Lord. So let's go back in Scriptures. Let's look at how God prophesied this particular day. And again, everything that we see in the Bible, all of the prophecies of the Bible, culminate in and are part of the day of the Lord. Everything is. The beast, the rapture, the vials of wrath, the millennial reign, Satan being bound for 1,000 years and then being loosed again at the very end. The great white throne judgment. Everything that is prophetic in the Bible is sort of put in this one basket called the day of the Lord. Everything that we're seeing going on in this world. A pastor blessing an abortion clinic. She's ushering in the day of the Lord. Amen? She's bringing it on. God's going to let this go for a little while longer, but when it's time, it's going to be time. And is she going to be sorry? Yes. Amen. She will be.
Amen.
Okay? She's not now, but she will be. Amen? Amen? Your hope is that on that day you won't be sorry. Amen?
Amen?
Because your sins will be forgiven. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. The purpose of the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2. It's actually the first place that it's mentioned in the Bible. God waited all the way up till, what is Isaiah? 23rd book of the Bible. First of the major prophets in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 11. Here is Isaiah the prophet. And he says in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 11, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. This is the purpose now, the day of the Lord. God's going to take the arrogance of Reverend Laura Young. He's going to bring her low and everybody else like her. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Underline that in your Bible. Know that in your Bible. God will not allow you to steal His glory away from Him. This is why God has made us weak and Himself strong. This is why God wants us weak. He wants us weak so that we rely upon Him and His cross, so that the cross, Christ, God is all glorified. When the time comes, you're going to give your praise over to God and not over to me, not over to the church, not over to the Pope or anybody else. Your praise and your glorying is going to be of the Lord. And that's the day of the Lord. That's why it's coming. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day, they won't even put God's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Amen? He's not going to be there glorified with everybody else. He's going to be high and lifted up. I don't know why I came up with that, but anyway, that was just in my head. Verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up. I've seen some of those trees. They are huge, all right? That are high and lifted up. And upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant places, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The message is, anyone out there who's got a cocky attitude, all of these arrogant churchgoers, all of these arrogant preachers that are walking around claiming they have everything and they know everything and everybody needs to come up to their level, all the politicians of the world, all the kings of the earth who think that they're better than everybody, the Queen of England is going to be brought low. Amen? The Prince of England, Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, all the kings of the earth, the Saudi sheiks, and the Saudi Arabian kings or whoever, these people are going to be brought down. By the way, the Bible teaches us that he mentions the high hills and the mountains here. He mentions that every mountain shall be brought down and every valley shall be exalted. Can you imagine the amount of earth shaking that takes place to bring every mountain down and raise up every valley? That's a lot. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
I don't think my insurance covers that. I don't think it does. But that's the purpose of the day of the Lord. And I want you to keep this in your mind. Everybody, all the politicians, all the people of this world, all the rock stars, all the movie stars, all the rich people, all the gangsters, all the bad people, O.J. Simpson, and all these other people that you think are getting away with something. Doesn't it make you mad? Let's be honest. Doesn't it make you mad when somebody does something wrong and gets away with it? Somebody cuts you off on the highway and they're doing 95 miles an hour if they're doing anything, and you got pulled over for doing 4 miles over the speed limit, and this guy's doing 90, and you blow your horn at him. I do that. I honk my horn when I see somebody breaking the rules of the road. And I think, oh, that makes me mad. They got away with it. Just wait. Just wait. God's going to take everything that everybody thinks they're getting away with, and He's going to bring them down. That's what He's going to do. There's going to be one exaltation in the day that the Lord appears in those clouds, and it will be the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. Can I get God's people to say amen?
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 13, turn there. Isaiah chapter 13. So number one, the day of the Lord is going to bring down all the loftiness, all the arrogance, all the haughtiness. Men shall be... Now, let's take this and apply it in a personal way to you. Instead of just looking at it as a future event, let's look at it in practical terms of your life. Okay? I have had my day of the Lord. God showed up to me and said, Mike, I'm fixing to bring you down. Okay? I'm going to bring you way down. And He did exactly that. You didn't get saved, but what the day of the Lord came in your life and brought you down low. Amen? Look at what we have here in the front of our church. We have mourners' benches, altars. Some call them. We didn't, when they made these for this church, they didn't make them this high. So we could just walk up and lean up against it. It's down there. Because that's where you and I need to be. It's the best place in the world to pray, isn't it? Okay? When you look in the Bible at when people saw Jesus or when they were in the presence of the Lord, what did they do? They fell upon their face. They went all the way down to the ground. That was a symbol of obeisance. It was a symbol of reverence and respect. It was a symbol of submission. It was literally a visual symbol of, I am down low and you are above me. When we do feet washing here at this church, Christ did not give us the ordinance of washing the saints' hands. Amen? He said, wash their feet, which is all the way down there. And if you've done that, we've done it here. I love it. You have to get down on your knees to wash your brother's feet, to wash your sister's feet. God designed it that way. But the practical aspect of this is the day of the Lord comes when God has finally had enough of your nonsense and enough of your arrogance and enough of your puffed up against everybody else, you thinking that you're better, thinking you're better than your spouse, better than your family, better than your church, better than these people over here or these people over here. And we do it a lot. We look at people and say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that, or look at that, look at how they are. I mean, I'm kind of doing it here. Okay? This woman, in my opinion, is ignorant. She is a reprobate in her mind. She knows nothing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She knows nothing of the scriptures. And she's going around telling everybody she's praying for an abortion clinic. We just want to pray for her. Amen. But down in my heart, I'm not too much different than this. Old heart's wicked. Amen. Needs to be brought down. So what we do is we start comparing ourselves with other people and we start elevating ourselves based upon what other people do. Paul said, comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. Amen. You could pick the lowest form of human scum in the world and measure yourself up against them and say, I am better than that. Or you could take yourself and measure yourself up against the Lord, like the plumb line that He lowered down to His people in the book of Amos. I said, a plumb line amongst my people. And you measure yourself up against God, and all of a sudden, you're just as out of sorts as they are. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so there will be multiple days of the Lord coming in your life when God is going to show up and He's going to bring you down. to where you need to be so that nothing in your life, nothing about you is exalted except the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear you say amen? That's the practical aspect of the day of the Lord. So now let's look at Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13 is a prophecy against who? Who can tell me? Babylon the Great. She's the harlot. She's the mother of harlots. She's a drunken whore. She is the mistress of witchcrafts. She is the queen of heaven, if there really is such a thing. Okay? She's given herself that title, queen of heaven. And it's something. You look in your Bible, type in that phrase, queen of heaven, in a search engine. Look in your King James Bible and find out how God thinks about the queen of heaven. It's not good. It's not good. So why do these Catholic churches regard Mary as, that's her title. She's the queen of heaven. Oh, you read your Bible and you're going, well, if that's true, I'm not supposed to have anything to do with her. Amen? So that's what Isaiah 13 is. It is a prophecy against Babylon the Great. That Babylon the Great, everybody's got a different view of who it is. Some say it's Vatican. Some say it's this. Some say it's that. Some say it's America. Or whatever it is. But she is that earth spirit, the spirit of this world. She is in direct contradiction to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where Jesus is the Word of God, the unchanging Word of God. She is, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So it's like churches that are reforming themselves all the time, trying to keep ahead with everybody. Doctrines that change based upon a new wind or a new spirit that blows around. That's who she represents. And so God is going to judge her on what he calls the day of the Lord. So in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, the Bible says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. So something already now that we've looked at two places in the Bible that deal with the day of the Lord, and both of them don't sound like sunshine and roses. Both places we've seen so far are going to be very violent, very tempestuous, shaking, earthquaking. That's the idea that God has given us. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. I believe that the Lord Jesus is Lord over every church in the world. Amen. Even the bad ones.
Yes.
You know what I think Jesus does? I think Jesus bears with, long suffers with a church or a congregation or a ministry or denomination or whatever. I think he long suffers with them. But there comes a time when Jesus says, this is enough. Now I'm going to bring destruction down upon this. I'm going to put a stop to this. I'm going to halt this. So he brings it down. It's a destruction from the Almighty. Verse 7 says, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. The idea here is, who will be able to stand up against the Lord when it's his day? Again, apply that in a practical way to your life. Apply it to the day that the Lord took you in to be his son, the day that God crushed you and bruised you and destroyed you and broke you up in little pieces. When you came to the Lord, your heart was melting before God. You don't go to the Lord saying, God, I dare you to save me. Okay, I don't think you can. Listen, when you come to the Lord, your heart's melted. Amen?
Amen.
I don't go for this nonsense now. Just everybody rejoice and say, Jesus is my Savior, and everybody be happy. I've seen that happen. You see it on these TV churches all the time. That's not salvation. There's no sorrow for sin there. There's no sorrow for things that have been done. And he said, every man's heart shall melt. Verse 8, they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. And you can write next to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because they're connected. So in the day of the Lord, who in here had a sudden the time of birth came, boom, just like that, just that quick. Melissa, you had that. Lisa, you had it with Alicia. There it was. I'm going to have a baby. Okay. Let's see here. With Courtney, we at the hospital, the doctor waited all day long. Decided he's going to go home and eat supper. Well, Lisa went from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. All of a sudden, there's a baby right then and there. The message here is when God does this, let's say prophetically, let's say in the time to come, all of these people on YouTube are going to be wrong about when it happens. Because they all made these September prophecies. I watched a video by Jonathan Kahn today, the biggest Kahn leader, of all these people who were talking about the blood moons and how September it was all going to come down, the Shemitah was going to happen, and all the everything was just going to explode everywhere. And the ringleader, this Jonathan Kahn, he's a messianic rabbi out of New York, he makes this video where he says, now I know it looked like I was wrong, but I'm really right, because let me tell you why I was right. That's what he said. You go find it on YouTube, it's there. You're just going to go, you're the biggest idiot I've ever seen in my life. Well, maybe I've known Mike Hoggard. You're the second biggest idiot in the world, okay? But these people, God's not going to tell them. God's not going to tell them anything. Because they keep lying about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. They think they got it all figured out. That's just sort of like you trying to figure out when, if it's a natural childbirth, when to the minute that this thing is going to take place. You don't know. Amen? Amen. So that's the concept there. He says, they shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. There's a neat teaching there. I'm not going to get into it. So he says, here it is, the word, behold the day of the Lord. This is the second time he's used it in this passage. It says it in verse 6. Now in verse 9, behold the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Wow. Okay? Now, prophetically, this is what God's going to do. In the day of the Lord, it initiates with a single day, but then it is carried on through the 1,000 years. So what is God going to do at this time? He's going to remove all the sinners off of the earth. How's he going to do that? They're going to go get a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. That is going to seal them. It's going to seal their doom. Just like you and I are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, we've been given the earnest of the Spirit. So we know that God's going to keep his word to us because he's given an earnest to us. We have that Spirit in it. We have his word right here. Anytime you're in doubt, just open her up and start reading, and God will say, I'm still coming. I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. Amen? Okay? So that's that part of it there. But where was I going with that? That was pretty good. And shall destroy the sinners out of it. But what he's going to do is, there's going to be people that's going to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, the King James says. And it's going to seal them. And anybody who has that mark, you think they'll be given a second chance, Sterling? No, sir. No way. God had already said, if you take that mark, that's it. It's over with. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, and you will be tormented day and night, and you will never have any rest. Now you think about that and contrast that with what it is that we know God is going to do in the Sabbath reign, the millennial reign. That seventh day is a day of rest, is it not? So there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Not only will we rest at that millennial time, but when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, he creates it perfect. There is no need for work and labor. Everything's there for us, and it will be a nonstop, eternal bliss. We won't get bored either. Amen? And he'll cease our labors. We won't work anymore. We will rest. Looking forward to that. Amen? get tired. You want to just give up sometimes and quit. God's got that rest for you. Just hang on a little while longer. Amen. If my great-grandmother Hoggard, she lived to be 101 years old. And you know what she knew, John? She had told her family this. She told them, God promised me to live 100 years on this earth. And she did. She lived to be 101. Okay? And she was old, bent over, and tired. And she's got her rest right now. Amen? Amen. Those who receive that mark, they get no rest. They're going to be tormented day and night. Have you ever had a night where you couldn't sleep because you're in too much pain? You ever had that? Okay? Multiply that times a billion. That's what's coming for the sinners. Use that to put fear into your heart to keep you where you need to be, down on your knees. Let me hear you say amen. So he's going to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And then he says in verse 10, there's another part to this judgment, not just the sinful people, the sinful angels. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I always thought it was interesting that the sun and the moon was a his and a her. You ever see that before? In the Bible, the sun and the moon. Sun's always a he and the moon's always a her. Okay? Sun shall not cause her light to shine. They're opposites. That's what they are. They represent opposites. Day and night and so on. But anyway, verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. That means there will not be any gay pride parades during the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen! No gay pride parades. No women kissing on television. Amen. I was watching YouTube videos today. People send me stuff to watch, and I pulled one up. And every now and then there's an ad that comes up. YouTube's going to make you watch an ad, so that's how they get their money. And it started out with these two men kissing one another. That's going to be gone. Amen. He says, I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. He's just adding to what he said in Isaiah chapter 2. We're getting a consistent theme here. Verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. The earth is always referred to as a woman as well, all right? In the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. So I want you to look at these two things. He's going to shake the heavens. What does that pertain to? Go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. He says, I think it's in Hebrews, and if you can find that verse in Hebrews where God says he's going to shake both heaven and earth, raise your hand and let me know where it is, all right? I know it's there. Maybe you can use your phone to kind of look for that in the book of Hebrews. He's going to shake both the heavens and the earth, and he mentions that in Hebrews. And in Revelation chapter 6, we have in verse 12, and beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's Isaiah 13. They're all talking about the same thing. And it says in verse 13, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Okay? And so he's given you the illustration that these figs on this tree, a tree represents things that are high, lifted up in the air. And that's angels. That's the stars of the heavens. And one of these days, he's going to shake the earth. He's going to rise to shake terribly the earth. And when we talk about an earthquake, we always think of a place, a location. I think in Oklahoma this week there was an earthquake, or last week something like that, a 4-point-something magnitude earthquake in Oklahoma. We're waiting for the big one again, New Madrid Fault. Okay, that was a big one. The one in Japan that caused that tsunami, that was an 8-point-something. And these things, an 8-magnitude earthquake is huge. But I don't think that this last day's earthquake is just limited to Japan or San Francisco. I think, Sterling, he's going to shake the whole earth. I think that's the time. He says in here that he's going to remove the earth out of her place. The Bible talks in one place about the earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard. You imagine, here's the earth that's on a 23-degree tilt. Okay, that's its axis. And it's going to reel like this. Can you imagine the cataclysm that's going to happen on that day? Don't waste your time building the bunker, because you'll get trapped in it for sure. Because earth doing this, it's going to collapse everything. Okay? The devastation that is going to happen, nobody is going to... everything that you've got planned, I'm talking to people, these preppers and all that, everything that you think you've got prepped for that day, it's a waste. I don't care where you've got it stored, it'll probably collapse. You won't be able to touch it if you survive. You know what I'm thinking? Get in the ark of Christ. You're going to survive that day, you need to be in the ark where Noah was, as it was in the days of Noah. Did anybody find that place in Hebrews? Hebrews what? Hebrews 12, 26. Turn there very quickly. All right. He's going to shake both the earth and heaven. Yeah, look at this. Okay. Look at verse 25. Let's start there and then we'll finish it out tonight. Hebrews 12, 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, you think about that. This is what I'm saying now. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Let me just throw this in, then I'll be done. Okay? As people follow our ministry online, they watch all the Watchman broadcasts and Pastor Mike online. They like some things I say because I talk about the New World Order and I talk about DNA, and I talk about UFOs and all this stuff that they're all interested in. And I've made this statement before, and I'm going to say it again. Just because you might be right on the conspiracy theories does not mean that you're right with God. Amen. Just because you're anti-New World Order and you're pro-guns and you've got a bunker and you don't trust the banks and all of this stuff, that is not putting your faith and your trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, most of these people don't trust anybody. They trust themselves more than they do anybody. And you're looking at a guy right here that has learned, no, I don't even trust myself half the time. And I'm just telling you, you can be right about all the conspiracy theories and you can expose every one of them and die and go to hell. If you are not in the ark of God's safety, Jesus Christ alone, you will perish. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. If Christ is in you, you cannot be shaken. That's good, isn't it? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So he's going to shake the earth, and everything in the earth that man thinks it's depending on is going to be shaken and destroyed. People's lives are going to be shaken and destroyed. The heavens themselves, there's a third of the angels that when he shakes the heavens, see, that's the phrase he used in Revelation. It's going to be shaken of an untimely fig. It's going to be shaken of the wind. And those angels are going to, even the angels are going to fall out of the sky to the earth. You think you're going to survive? You think if you get enough guns, you can change America back? Not if God's going to do this. James said, and we're not even going to get there tonight, but James said, that wasn't James anyway. One prophet said, not even your silver and your gold is going to save you in that day. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.